Our second reading from God's holy word for this day comes to us out of the book of the prophet Isaiah. We are in the 64th chapter of Isaiah this morning, which means we're at the latter part. The people have already been taken off into slavery in Babylon. In chapter 40, that story turns and people begin to return. And now here, as we come towards the end of the book of Isaiah, we hear Isaiah praying on behalf of the people as they return to Jerusalem. Let us listen then for God's word as it comes to us now. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Herein the readings from God's holy word for this day. And to God's name be all glory and praise now and forever. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse our thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Amen. As the prophet Isaiah calls out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence," he's expressing an age-old challenge that you and I, that we have with God. Those moments that come to us when we are afraid that God is absent, gone, out of town, deaf, unresponsive. Those moments when something has caught us up so short, we can only cry out, "Where are you? Where are you?" Hearing only thundering silence in return, we call again. "Can't you come back, God, as you did with Moses? Can't you come back like you did when Moses came and your voice came and shook Mount Sinai? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Open the heavens, and come down. We cannot stand how this feels. This sense that you have hidden your face from us." Now, this lament comes to Isaiah after weeks of weary travel. They have walked all the way back from the seat of the Babylonian Empire down through harsh deserts where there's little food or water, as he has immigrated with a band of fellow former slaves all the way back from Babylon to come back almost 50 years after they had been taken away into slavery. They've been released now by Cyrus of Persia to move back to Jerusalem. And across the miles, they had been living toward the place to which they journey. Isaiah is actually fueled by his real memories of some 50 years ago. The younger people with him are inspired by the stories they've heard, the memories of their parents and grandparents, even great-grandparents, all they have told them about Jerusalem. And now, as they climb up the last level to the Temple Mount, those memories of beauty and that great sense of holiness that one gathers in that house of God are shattered by the reality, which is that there's trash blowing across the broken tiles of the former courtyard. And there's still some rubble laying around from where the walls were torn down and burned before their slavery began. So for 50 years, the Israelites have been praying for their freedom and the chance to come on home. Now that they're back, the neighborhood is gone. The temple is destroyed. Nothing looks familiar to them. We came home for this. Oh, that the heavens would be torn open and they would experience the very shaking of the ground they stand on, as Moses did when the tablets of the law were handed down. Yet the silence continues. And on this Sunday, which is the first Sunday of our Christian year, I forgot to say Happy New Year to you this morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Much better. Thank you. It's the first Sunday of our Christian year. And it does actually come into us silently. At the same time that we're also moving towards the darkest time of our yearly calendar. And while we know that Advent is a time of expectant waiting and preparation, it also can be a time of great challenge for us. I've long suspected that one of the reasons we experience an uptick in attendance in Advent and then on Christmas Eve and again at Easter is because people come in the doors hoping against hope that this time, when they come to worship, they will become sure that God is real, that miracles happen, and that faith matters. Faith and doubt are intertwined for us all through our lives. They're like conjoined twins. We can't really pull them apart. And most of us are likely to find ourselves at one time or another in a place like Isaiah, yearning for a very clear sign from God that we are not forgotten. We too might want to cry out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." Do we hear the loneliness, the desire for connection, the yearning? Been there? Done that? I sure have. My dad died when I was in college, and I stopped going to church for 14 years. I was so angry at God for not answering my prayers, for not sustaining Daddy's life, that I just turned away. I fixed God, all right. It was not until I could finally come to understand that the ache inside of me sprang out of loneliness that I could turn back. And you know what I discovered? God was lonely for me too. God was lonely for me too. God is lonely for anyone. For anyone who pulls away. James Weldon Johnson starts his poem, The Creation, with his own thoughts on loneliness. And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And then Johnson goes on to describe all that God creates in the first 6 days and concludes. Then God walked around. And God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought till he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the far corners of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it, he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen. This, I think, is at the heart of what Isaiah is reminding us of as we start our new year, our time of expectancy and waiting, not only to wait on Jesus being born, but to wait on God, even in our loneliness. Did you catch those words at the end? Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. As Corinne Carvalho reminds us, at the beginning of Advent, then, what Isaiah asks us to do is to surrender, to stop fighting to be good or better, to stop worrying about being more righteous or enlightened, to stop thinking we alone can make Christmas special, to stop rushing past the hard lessons. After all, we all fade like a leaf. That is until God claims us, you and me, as sacred clay into which has been breathed the very stuff of life. God is our Father and our potter. We are the clay, the creation of God's own hands. And God is as lonely for us as ever we get for God. Keep on calling out, asking for God to rend that curtain between us, that's the image, to come down, to be present in your life and mine, not only in these darkling days, but forever. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.